Our meditation today is in Psalm 47. Please turn there with me in your New King James Bibles. We'll read responsively, as usually we do. Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to our God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding.
God reigns over the nations. God sits on his throne.
The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. In God's providence, I was reading along on Friday, in my Bible reading. And as I've mentioned before, I use Robert Murray McChain's Bible reading calendar. And for this first year, it's a two-year, the way it's rigged up, that I've rigged it up, it's a two-year sort of calendar where you read the entire Bible over 2 years, but every year you're getting all the New Testament and all the Psalms. So in the two-year period, you're covering the whole Bible once, but twice for the New Testament and Psalms. In any case, this is first year of the every other year, and just on Friday it was in Genesis 12. And here it is where God first calls Abram from his home, from his father's house, from all his relations, from where he was settled down in Haran, to go to a place where he would tell him. And what did Jehovah promise to Abram? He promised him land, seed, and blessing. And you can go there to the initial few verses of Genesis 12 and see that for yourself. These are the basic covenant provisions that operate from this point on in this administration of the overall covenant of grace. And those promises of land, of seed, and of blessing continue on for the spiritual children of Abraham today. Now this psalm was written by the sons of Korah. We don't know the occasion, though there are some commentators who seem to think that it was for the opening or the dedication of the temple. The original temple erected by God's design with the materials gathered by David under the direction of Solomon. And there are some who think perhaps that particularly, this was composed from when God's, physical presence descended upon the temple. When the Shekinah, the glory cloud, came upon the temple. In any case, the people of God, those of faith at the time, did not see that the temple was the ultimate expression of God's presence on the earth. Nor did they see that the particular real estate was ultimately all that God would take to himself out of all the earth. They did not see that the physical seed of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob was it, because they also saw that there was the blessing to many nations. And so, with these ideas in mind, with the thought before them that all these things were only pointing to a greater reality, it's in that light that this psalm was written. Now, it speaks of things as they were, of course, when the sons of Korah wrote this, whatever the occasion may have been. The dedication of the temple is a good guess, but we don't know for sure. But we see, friends, that this psalm is celebrating what shall yet happen more gloriously still. And that is, of course, when all lands, not just this land, all lands shall praise the seed, that being the Lord Jesus Christ, who would reign over and bring blessing to all nations. It's rather easy to see this here. It says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples," not people. This is for all peoples of the earth. "Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Jehovah Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth." And this looks forward, of course, to Jesus, the king whom God has set upon his holy hill, upon Zion, who is celebrated very explicitly in Psalm 2, of course. "The peoples are subdued under us, the nations under our feet." Now, it might be thought that here we have some sort of nationalistic expression of patriotism and national chauvinism, that sort of thing, but this is not it at all. Here we have the picture of pagan societies being crushed, but the paganism of them, you see, is what is crushed, as the peoples themselves shout in triumph. Their cultures, the nations, the societies built upon idolatries and humanistic constructs, those shall end. Even as in our day, we think of the end of Mohammedanism. We do not call for the death of Mohammedans. No, actually, we look for, we pray for, we work for their life, of course, in Jesus Christ. But as more and more of them come to Jesus Christ, that, of course, spells the doom, the crushing of the system and the false ideas of Mohammedanism. Our missionary efforts to them are prompted by love and glory for God and for the deliverance of these poor benighted folk, of course. And that is just the sort of attitude here. He chooses out our inheritance for us, or he will choose out the excellence of Jacob whom he loves, Selah. And there we should be stopping and thinking. All this was a promise to the people of God of old. And all this is the promise to us as well. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Well, let us go on then into the second half. "God has gone up with a shout, the Lord, Jehovah, with the sound of a trumpet." It should be making us think of the ascension of Jesus Christ from this earth. His ascending to be at the right hand of the Father, the glorious King of Zion and King of nations, there reigning over all things for the sake of his Father, which he is doing even today, and for the sake of his beloved church. "Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God, particularly in the person, the mediatorial person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the King of all earth, sing praises with understanding." You know, it's been mentioned often before by both Larry and me that when you have a repetition here in Scripture, it's for emphasis. So the when Jesus says, "Verily, verily," or "Truly, truly," he's saying, you know, it's really true what I'm about to say to you. It is a big deal when we have a triple construction, such as holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of his glory, which the angels cried out there in the temple. When Isaiah saw them there, and we read about that in Isaiah 6. But here we have, "Sing praises, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises." A fourfold thing! God is doing and shall be doing great and glorious things. And this King Jesus, who shall rule over not merely what we think of as modern day Israel, or Israel in its greatest extent under Solomon. He shall reign over all the earth. He is the seed, the only begotten of the Father, and the seed of promise to Adam and Eve, to Abraham and Sarah. The one promised as a prophet and as a great high priest to the people and Moses, and promised as the king who would sit on his throne to David. This one is that over all the earth. And so, we read here, just as Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 1, about verse 20 to the end, God reigns over the nations. Ultimately, it's not Satan. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. He is not pacing back and forth, worrying, wondering what's going to happen. No. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. Here are the rulers of nations. Not merely as individuals, you see, but as the earthly covenant heads of their people, representing their peoples under Jesus Christ. They who were no people, they who were without hope and without God in the world, are now the people of the God of Abraham. For their shields that they used at one time to defy King Messiah, their shields, their power, their swords are now yielded to God, greatly exalted. Now we do not see this fully come to pass yet, which is a big hint that this psalm is not only for Old Testament peoples. It speaks of realities, and its fullness could not be appreciated until the ascension of Jesus Christ. This is for the people of God in all ages. It is far more fulfilled now than it was when written by the sons of Korah, a particular group of Levites. It isn't completely fulfilled even yet. We sing this then, friends, in anticipation of the consummation of what this psalm speaks of, the full and complete inheritance of the promise to Abraham in his promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to sing now portion A, or I shouldn't say portion A, it's version A of Psalm 47. As we do so, let us see Christ, the heir to the land, the kingly seed, the one who brings blessing to all lands. Psalm 47a.